It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another fine edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi, Daniel.
Hello, Mark. Good season's greetings.
We're heading for the next one, aren't we? Hey, there's in and out of season. Some people do something interesting we'll talk about in this show about rock climbing, of all things. But you want to talk about depression and getting stuck and unstuck, and,
yeah.
and what do you mean by this?
So yeah, a lot of people, people with anxiety, depression, anger, addictive patterns, and even all of us at times in our life, we would describe life as, our process of life as stuck. How many times have you heard yourself say that? I'm just stuck, or you felt I'm just stuck, or you've heard other
people
saying...
That's how people describe their depression.
I'm just stuck. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and just the process of life a lot
mm-hmm.
of times.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of want to, as they say, unpack that. Interesting. Unpackaging.
Unpackaging. Yeah. We're doing so many packages
yeah.
right now.
So we're going to unwrap this.
Okay.
So what do we mean by stuck? Well, we typically would imply, if we give it some thought, we would mean probably lack of meaning, lack of direction, lack of motivation. Those are at the root of it, certainly. When if you think of yourself at a time in your life where you've felt stuck, or then certainly having being able to identify a meaning or a specific direction or have motivation would have gotten you unstuck. So that's kind of what we're implying when we use that term. And when we feel stuck like that, or if we don't use the term, we have anxiety, depression, anger, you know, not so much this show, but in the next show, when people are going to tune in, we're going to talk about some addictive patterns more in an interesting way. But that would be the reason that we get stuck, whether we call it stuck or not, you know, lack of meaning, direction, and motivation. The implication also is a sense that it's actually wrong to be emotionless if we were rocks.
It's not wrong
planted.
To be emotionless?
It is wrong.
To be a rock and not
well,
to
roll? This is our sense that if we feel stuck and we feel bad about being stuck, then that implies that we have a sense that it's wrong to be stuck and that we should be either one of two things. We, you know, moving towards something, as in having a calling or a destiny that we're somehow... We know we should be getting on with something. We feel convicted to get on with something, and yet we just can't get out of the blocks. Or another sense of stuckness is that we should be moving away from something, some moving out of fear, moving away from. Perhaps we've seen others engaged and motivated, for example, and so we're convicted of our own lethargy or lack of productivity, and so we're concerned about loss of time. You know, I know that when people start getting up in their years and they have that kind of midlife crisis,
it accelerates. And time is getting faster,
and people look at
10 years.
Look
boom!
At life
what if it's just 10 years? It's already gone by.
People look at life and say, you know, what have I done? What have I accomplished? And I hear that a lot of clients will verbalize that. And people who just friends, and I guess I say that sometimes myself to my counselor, who is my wife. So we obviously don't feel good about being stuck and being not accomplishing things. We're not rocks stuck in a hill. We're beings, and we obviously feel some responsibility, some need to move on. So how and why, I guess we would ask, how and why do we get stuck? And I think this comes down to many just never taking the time to contemplate life in any depth. That is, its divine purpose and process. Mm. And so if we don't take the time, we're living in an impatient culture, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely.
Maybe an impatient world. And so it's rare that people will take the time and make not just a few minutes here and a few minutes there, but really develop a lifestyle of contemplation and trying to just understand the larger picture, the divine purpose and process. And so if we fail at those, and we really cannot truly articulate any meaningful goals or steps or stages to attaining or pursuing those goals,
So goals are important.
Goals are important, but the point is that we can't really articulate our goals if we don't contemplate an overall purpose. So we're not going to be able to achieve all of our goals, but at least there should be some absolute reason for pursuing things in life, and that absolute reason has to be in a larger tapestry, which we'll talk about. Proverbs 24, 3 and 4, great couple of verses here. Great book, actually, from a greater book. Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it's established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with precious and pleasant riches. So wisdom by wisdom, the house is built. So it's designed for purpose and construction and constructed according to this design. Wisdom is not knowledge. It's not exactly understanding, although it's closer to it. So if we break this down, through wisdom, the house is built, or wisdom is what we use to design a house. If you think of building a house or having a house built for your family, certainly you put some thought into the needs of your family. How many members are there? What is each member like? What kind of rooms do we need? What do we want? Do we need an activity room? How big should the garage be? What's the kitchen going to be? You know, these all take, we're contemplating a picture, a plan, a design that's based on, certainly some understanding that we have or some knowledge that we have about people, but it's more than that. It's how are we going to apply that to this design? So we design it, and then by understanding the house is finished or established, it's finished, completed. And then it says, by knowledge, the rooms are filled with precious and pleasant riches. So we can venture out after we have our house built and the carpet laid and the walls and the doors hung and everybody knows where their bedroom is and where the den is. And if we're going to have a sitting room and maybe we're going to have an activity room or something. So from that point, we can venture out, you see, and we can bring things back home, but they'll never be appropriate for the home if the home isn't first built and then established according to that plan. If we don't really have an overall purpose for the rooms, it's going to be difficult to go out and get appropriate furnishings for that. Mm-hmm. So there's a method here, and we're talking about getting unstuck and how do we get unstuck. So certainly, being unstuck, if we're gonna fill the rooms with precious things, there's the precursor of wisdom and understanding, which I'm kind of referring to contemplation. One of the characteristics of stuckness too is failing to finish. We all struggle with that. Now, we've got New Year's coming up, so a lot of people are going to be talking about New Year's resolutions. We're hitting it a little early here, get a run at it. Mm-hmm. But we like to finish things, and it just starts to feel, it's really frustrating when we have a lot of things started and not finished. And, if you're listening to the show, you could probably make a list, long or short, of things that you didn't get done this past year or you mm-hmm. haven't gotten done for
several
years.
Are New Year's resolutions then a good idea, do you think?
I think there's motivation.
You could probably have new resolutions every month, not just January. Yeah. That would probably help you.
Well, you've got your honey-do list for every day.
Okay,
so this failing to finish, of course, again, results from having no grand understanding of life, no grander understanding. Knowledge isn't any good without understanding because the facts don't have a context. Now, many people find themselves pursuing goals that are not connected in any overall tapestry of life. We find that all the time in our culture, people are fragmented in their thinking. As a result of that, not understanding or not contemplating the overall fabric of life, and so we're picking goals and things.
Well, people just want to be
just
busy.
For busyness. Yeah,
yeah. Busyness is definitely an earmark of our culture.
Yeah.
Just busy, busy, busy.
Yeah.
You can't slow down.
Yeah.
Or you feel something wrong if you're not busy.
Busy, busy, and then burnout. So fragmented thinking, almost schizophrenic sometimes in our pursuits, particularly maybe in some of the younger people.
Oh yeah.
Staying in shape is one goal, and then job is another goal, and car is another goal, and friends, that's another goal, and hobbies and interests and traveling. But are they pulled together? Even so, without understanding of this kind, without understanding of the larger tapestry, a majority of Christians are fragmented in their faith, which is why we are frustrated oftentimes with church, and why, frankly, I think we've lost the interest of the young people. Examples might be doctrines that we hang on to, doctrinal positions that seem to have no real bearing on anything of any importance, or that they're not interdependent with other aspects of our belief as they would be now, in a systematic theology.
What do you mean by that? Like, what? For instance, what kind of...
So what
are examples of doctrines or people are hanging on to that really...
A doctrine might be...
Because people doctrine is once and for all settled or whatever. That's not what you're talking about.
No, well, people might have a doctrine. Maybe there are various doctrines of, say, baptism, for example.
Okay.
So I have a belief about baptism. But does it tie into a larger tapestry of my faith so that it's absolutely necessary for me to believe that way? Or is it just something I was taught and I've never bothered to see how it connects with the rest of Scripture? Why do a lot of people believe in submersion? Well, submersion. John the Baptist did it, and that's the way it should do. But does it tie into the nature of God? And if it does, can I articulate that? Because another would be the doctrines on the Trinity, and people have different ways of thinking about that. But do my beliefs tie into a larger tapestry of my faith so that it makes sense? Otherwise, yeah, I find myself hanging on to disconnected.
What I find too is another one. A real favorite is end time stuff.
Right,
eschatology.
Sure.
People have all kinds of ideas, and they're all worried about the end of the world, and they're not getting busy with what's going on today and what's going on in their own personal life.
Yeah, and that's a good point. You know, those doctrines, if they are part of a larger tapestry, they should certainly be part of my life expression. Mm-hmm. So disconnected goals. Now, we have some men here that have spoken to this, and I go, Solomon, Aristotle, and Jean-Paul Sartre. Solomon says, without a vision, the people perish or wander aimlessly. And he's talking about a progressive vision.
So Solomon wrote most of the Proverbs.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Aristotle has a way of saying that if there's a good or a purpose in your life that you pursue— and it gives meaning to all the other things that you pursue, then certainly that must be the highest good. Mm. Otherwise, if you're pursuing lots of different purposes, but there's nothing that pulls them together, eventually you're going to lose you're going to be fragmented, you're going to have no meaning in your life
which is
our culture, mm-hmm. exactly. Mm-hmm. And then Jean-Paul Sartre, in our time, said that, no point of reference has meaning without the ultimate point of reference.
Mm-hmm.
So fragmented thinking never lasts because it ultimately lacks a thorough meaning. So what we want to push for and talk about here is how do we get a more integrated thinking? How do we get a more integrated thinking so that we are not stuck in these different fragmented and disconnected purposes? That's part of the picture.
Okay, here. Stuck and unstuck, the theme this week on Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. This sounds a lot like what you do in life coaching, getting people on track with proper goal setting. And nothing wrong with having goals, but we can get stuck if we're not careful. People need help, and they would like to have you help them. How did they get in touch with you, Daniel?
Sure. The phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you find these shows on podcast. And, of course, the offices are Kirkland and Edmonds.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Where marriage is concerned, an ounce of prevention is worth a lot more than a pound of cure. Too many couples start off with misconceptions and then wait until the damage is done to seek counsel. As a marriage counselor, I help couples understand both the purpose and process of marriage, and I teach essential tools of communion. If you're married or thinking about marriage and want to get started right, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Sound Mind this week, looking at how to get unstuck. If you're stuck, you want to get unstuck, and we're not just talking about snow and ice here in the Northwest.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't take much to throw us off kilter, but it can be true of our own life too, Daniel. People get stuck pretty easily, and you say that a lot of this has to do with not correctly integrating their faith and their thinking.
Yeah, there was a book that I read some years ago, I think I've mentioned it on the show from time to time, written by a man by the name of Kurt Thompson. And the name of the book was The Anatomy of the Soul. And in that, he talks about integrated thinking as opposed to fragmented thinking. And but it's very much as we quoted this verse in Proverbs and then spoke about Solomon in that proverb and that other proverb in Solomon's book, Proverbs. Without a progressive vision, the people wander aimlessly. And that's really a picture of our society and a picture of the church. Speaking mostly to Christians here, although, you know, non-believers can find a tapestry, as we've using that, sticking with our terms here, can find a tapestry in life that pulls a lot of their activities and goals together, but they're still going to lack the one that makes life make sense. There has to be, you know, really you cannot do without acknowledging that the life giver, you know, if you want to understand the divine purpose of life, I mean,
absolutely.
You certainly have to go to the life giver. And I brought up, too, the concern of fragmented faith. And a lot of Christians struggle in prayer and struggle in commitment to church and struggle in fellowship. Because once again, we don't see that larger tapestry, and then I cannot possibly understand my role in it if I don't see the larger picture. So we were talking about fragmented thinking, fragmented faith. A lot of times we get stuck in life, even though we might have a lot to do. I might have a to-do list, and there might be, as we were talking earlier, New Year's resolutions, but if they don't fit into that larger picture of life, if they don't make sense in respect to that, I'll have difficulty keeping myself motivated for those things. So the thing of integrated faith, now this, I think, just requires, it demands a discipline of patient contemplation of life, this idea of intimated thinking as opposed to fragmented thinking, putting the pieces together, whether it's you know, something even possibly as menial as cleaning the garage or fertilizing the lawn for winter, something like that. Of course, you know, some of those things you're going to have a little more difficulty tying those into the purpose of life, but they should somehow tie in. You don't want to allow yourself to get too spread too thin. We could use that term, spread too thin. We can have a lot of duties and activities that we're doing that are not tied into the purpose of life and can get in, you know, entirely distracted from that. For the Christian, integrated thinking, I think, means a deeper commitment to being really in the presence of the author of life. It's number one where we fail. I think we need to make time for scripture and prayer, because that's how we're in the presence of God, is in scripture and prayer. And we also need to be in the community of others, believers. That's not an easy thing for all of us. Some struggle with that more than others. But the community is the topography of human meaning. So if we disconnect ourselves from the community community, it's like trying to, you know, look at things with the binoculars backwards, or you know, focusing on one part of a puzzle and rejecting the other pieces that are also on the table. We'll struggle with this. We'll be getting ourselves stuck.
I think you're a big believer in the church and people being part of a Christian community. There are many Christians, though, who feel like, well, it's just me and God and, you know, out in nature on Sunday. I don't need others. Mm-hmm. But that's a real talk about getting stuck and leading to more stuckness. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are dealing with, I'm a big believer in Christian radio, but if Christian radio is your only church, there's a problem. You need to be involved with real people face to face.
Now, those different relationships, of course, take us in different directions. I was talking to someone just the other day about this very thing. How related should I be to people? Struggle with relationships with people. Well, certainly relationships with people take us in different directions, and that can like a lot of our goals our endeavors and our activities that we're in. A lot of those things can broaden the plane of our experience, and so it could look like we are getting dispersed, maybe across too wide a plane of activity, and we're beginning to burn out. Maybe we're beginning to feel like we've overcommitted, or we've got too many pots on the fire, too many irons in the fire, too many pots on the stove, and we get distracted from that kind of devotion to the purpose of life. Well, that's bound to happen, and in some ways, that causes us to grow. But we always have to keep pruning back and dialing in on the purpose, pruning back. There's going to be a lot of people thinking about after Christmas. You got new packages under the tree. We unwrap those, and we realize that we're going to have to throw some stuff away if we're going to keep this new stuff. So there's going to be people running to the dump, which I've done just recently. Just getting rid of stuff, pruning back. We prune our shrubs. We prune our trees in order for them to grow in a particular way. We also have to prune our lives in order to keep them going toward that specific purpose. So it's kind of like an ebb and flow in life. You know, our life gets broadened, we tend to commit, and then we have to prune back, and always looking toward what is the purpose of life, where am I heading in life. And again, I reiterate defining that purpose in life, the fundamental importance of scripture, prayer, and the Christian community. So we find ourselves pursuing goals across this plane of interest, and that's part of our growth. But we also need to regulate and prune back those endeavors so that we're always generally in pursuit of that one good that defines all of the others and brings them into meaning. This can apply to the unexpected things in life. A lot of people maybe have difficulty understanding why God allows Christians on the other part of the world to be persecuted as they are. Why are we being persecuted here? If we have a doctrine that everything should be happy and rosy, we're going to be troubled by these because our doctrine doesn't fit into the larger tapestry of what God's doing, what his purpose has been. A lot of people misunderstand their salvation. I began to write a small paper, hope to finish it someday, maybe after New Year's, if Christ conquered sin and death at the cross, why are we struggling with sin and death? The answer, I'm sure, will be that Christ did what God can do. But part of it we must do, and that's just because it's not because God left some things for us to do, like some Easter eggs to find.
Yeah, I've heard that said, though, too. Like, if there's people who are downtrodden and being bullied, God, why are you allowing this? Mm-hmm. Well, he's sometimes allowing it because he wants you to do something about it.
He's not going to fix everything.
He's some of these things he's left for us to fix.
And we're unclear in a lot of those things, but that's where the contemplation and the devotion comes in. We have, if we don't want to keep getting stuck in life, we really have a responsibility to continue to contemplate and dial in on that larger tapestry. What's the purpose of that? And what's the purpose of life? And how do the things that I'm doing plug into that? And maybe, as I find a lot of times in my life and the lives of people that I talk to, maybe we find things that really don't plug into that, and those activities need to be pruned back. They may even be healthy for us, but they need to be pruned back.
Or maybe at one time they were good, but not now.
And not now. Yeah. Maybe a season. Yeah. There are a lot of things that are good for our brain, but we need to prune them back. So, stuck and unstuck. That's how we get stuck, and that's how we get unstuck. And I hope that's helpful advice to people listening, particularly as we go into these the end of this year and begin
people are thinking about those resolutions. And we were saying earlier that it's good to have resolutions throughout the year. But, hey, people do make those New Year's resolutions. So maybe this is a different approach to that.
And a great resolution would be having to do with scripture, prayer, and the Christian community.
Getting back to those basics, Well, if people need to get some help with some of these issues, how to get unstuck, they're feeling stuck, you say that that's the most common description for people feeling depressed and anxious. They feel stuck. And you want to help people get unstuck. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Well, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. Offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. Also, people email me through the website. They go to the website, find these radio shows and some of the writings that I've done, and they can email me through the website, and I'll respond that way, too.
Sure. BibleBasedCounselor.com. Always great stuff. Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.